In the eerie sour woods of Victorian England, two red-haired Irish siblings make their desperate way toward Windsor Estate. 14-year-old Molly and her younger brother Kip, who walks with a blackthorn crutch he's named Courage, have fled the devastating potato famine. Their journey through a hostile land is fraught with danger. Suspicious villagers, prejudiced shopkeepers, and the constant threat of workhouses lurking at every turn. Their flame-red hair and distinctive accents mark them instantly as Irish refugees, unwelcome in a society that views them with contempt. At a crucial crossroads, they encounter Hester Kettle, a mysterious storyteller who trades directions to Windsor Manor for a promise. Tell her later what they find there. Her cryptic warning hangs in the air. The sour woods changes folks. As they venture deeper, an unnatural silence envelops them. No birds sing, no insects buzz, just waiting trees that seem to watch with ancient malevolence. Molly protects Kip with elaborate tales about their parents traveling the world as healers and scholars. Stories that blur the line between comforting fiction and outright deception. These narratives shield him from harsh truths while helping them navigate a world that would crush them without hesitation. But as they approach the Windsor Estate, even Molly's stories cannot prepare them for what waits in the shadows. Windsor Mansion looms like a nightmare made real, an old, neglected house with an enormous ancient tree growing against and seemingly through its walls. Unlike most trees that invite exploration, this one radiates an unsettling chill, its massive roots and branches consuming the structure like hungry fingers. Inside, the Windsor family embodies decay. Once wealthy and vibrant, they now appear pale and withered. Constance maintains aristocratic dignity despite her household's deterioration, while Bertrand is a stuttering shell reeking of tobacco. Their children, bullying Alastair and Sweet Penny, show signs of both physical and spiritual malnourishment. A family portrait reveals their transformation from healthy individuals to gaunt figures with dark hair and sallow complexions. The house mirrors this decline, filthy, with roots breaking through basement walls and mysterious muddy footprints appearing nightly. The green door atop the stairs becomes the focal point of mounting dread. Why does Master Windsor emerge from it with heavy, clinking sacks? And why does Mistress Windsor wear jewelry supposedly surrendered to pay debts? Molly and Kip witness a pale figure in a top hat tending to the great tree with ancient tools. This night gardener waters the tree with silvery liquid while whispers fill the air, transforming the gothic atmosphere into horror as the children realize they're trapped in a house haunted by something insidiously manipulative. The night gardener operates through temptation rather than violence, using the tree's magic to manifest each person's deepest desire. Jewelry for Constance, money for Bertrand, sweets for Alastair, princess books for Penny, and letters from parents for Molly. Behind the green door, Molly discovers a trunk with a knothole that produces these desires, revealing the terrible bargain. The Windsors trade their lifeblood for material comforts. Each night they suffer nightmares, the psychic cost of their arrangement, yet remain trapped, growing increasingly dependent while becoming paler and more withered. Throughout the narrative, storytelling emerges as both salvation and danger. Molly's tales initially protect Kip from harsh realities, yet eventually form their own prison. When confronted about her dishonesty, Molly protests, "I'm not a liar, I'm a storyteller." Kip's question, "Does a story count as a lie if everyone knows it ain't true?" suggests intent and reception matter more than factual accuracy. Hester Kettle embodies narrative's positive power, treating storytelling as a sacred exchange. She trades tales rather than selling them, recognizing their value in shared experience. Her sacrifice when attacked by the night gardener for warning the children underscores the cost of truth-telling in a world seduced by comfortable lies. The Windsor children show different relationships with stories. Penny escapes through Princess Penny books that rewrite her reality. Alistair has grown cynical, using stories only to manipulate. Their transformation, from pale, nightmare-plagued children to rosy-cheeked youngsters playing imaginary games in sunshine, marks their journey from unhealthy fantasy to wholesome imagination. The ancient tree serves as a powerful metaphor for addiction, showing how destructive habits begin innocently before consuming their victims. Like addictive substances, it offers personalized comfort while extracting escalating costs: nightmares, physical deterioration, and spiritual corruption. When Molly accepts letters supposedly from her deceased parents, she enters this cycle. Though she recognizes they cannot be genuine, their comfort proves irresistible, mirroring how addicts choose artificial relief over facing painful reality. Kip's refusal to use Dr. Rootley's Wonder Balm for his injured leg forms the story's moral center. He rejects this miraculous solution, understanding such gifts demand terrible prices. His disability becomes a metaphor for embracing life's imperfections rather than seeking magical solutions. The tree's multi-generational influence demonstrates how addiction cycles through families. Though Bertrand's mother sacrificed herself to help him escape, he returned as an adult, unable to resist its pull, reflecting addiction's persistence across generations. The climactic confrontation brings themes of courage and truth-telling full circle. Debt collectors who discover the tree's magic embody pure avarice, and their attack with an axe triggers the night gardener's most violent response, illustrating how directly challenging addiction provokes its fiercest resistance. The desperate escape reveals what each character truly values. Bertrand discovers unexpected strength, Constance acknowledges her mistakes with gratitude, and Alistair finds redemption by risking himself for others. Molly realizes that only the tree's own gifts can destroy it, a profound insight about confronting addiction. Her heart-wrenching choice to sacrifice her comforting letters by burning them in the knothole ignites the tree from within, symbolizing how recovery often requires surrendering our most treasured coping mechanisms. The night gardener's gradual disintegration, crumbling piece by piece into dust, visualizes how confronting our demons isn't a single moment, but a progressive journey. The aftermath leaves scars, yet creates space for healing and new growth. After the fire, nature stages a triumphant return. Green shoots pushing through blackened earth, sparrows darting between branches, butterflies over fresh grass. The Windsor children, once pale and listless, now race through recovering gardens with rosy cheeks. The family's material losses act as a purifying force. Master Windsor's stern facade softens as he teaches his son to fish. Mrs. Windsor, freed from her obsession with appearances, finds joy in simple moments like braiding her daughter's hair. Constance's invitation for Molly and Kip to remain as family rather than servants marks a reversal of her former rigid class consciousness. Though Molly declines, this represents victory over once insurmountable social barriers. The narrative closes with Molly and Kip's wagon rolling toward dawn as they share dragon stories. They no longer use stories to hide from reality, but to embrace life's possibilities. The morning light symbolizes a new chapter where imagination serves as companion to courage. The night gardener reminds us that the most dangerous lies are those we desperately want to believe, and true courage means facing reality rather than retreating into comforting deception.